Jesus is our leader. Is that true? Is Jesus our leader? Yes. We want Jesus to be our leader as we go into this new year. This is a new year that we want to proclaim as the year of faith and Jesus' leadership in Couch Christian Church. So please be praying about that. Be praying about how God can lead us better. But I want to bring you to the example of God's leadership as we talk about leadership. I've been asked to prepare a series of lessons on leadership as we consider selecting new leaders for this church in the future. So we'll be going into many passages that discuss leadership. But first, let's talk about the ultimate leader. Let's talk about the King of Kings, the ultimate leader of leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now, many of us, when we accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, we came before the church and we confessed the name of Christ. And at that time, we were, in a sense, ordained. We were set free to serve God, all of us. Many of us have different gifts, but they all complement one another, and the church needs every single one of us. Let's go on. "In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession." And you remember those words of Jesus. And Pontius said, "Are you a king?" And he said, "It is as you say." He really was the Savior of the world. And I find it interesting that when the Pharisees asked him who he was, he never answered them. But to this pagan Gentile king, he answered, "It is as you say." "To keep the command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, while God will bring about in his own time, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen." Paul there proclaims that this is the leader of all leaders. This is the one who has the last word on every discussion. He knows how to fix every problem. He knows how to present the perfect solution. Now, I think about the Bible. You go through the Bible, and there are many, many leaders throughout the Bible, aren't there? You could say Adam was the leader in humanity. He was the first ever created man. Moses was the leader of the Exodus. He led the Israelites out of Egypt. David was the leader in firmly establishing the kingdom. Elijah was the leader in the prophets, you could say. There are many leaders throughout, but all of them are flawed and not perfect. And I think about Isaiah when I stand up in front of you and I think, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips." I think, "Why, God, would you use people like us?" But in our weakness, his strength is manifested. And I also remember that it is God and God alone who purifies and makes us holy. He's the one who restores, redeems, changes. And the more that we acknowledge that, the more we give, we surrender of ourselves so that God truly can be God. So we learn the lesson that Adam and Eve failed where they failed. We learn that we need God to be God because we cannot be God. So God is the perfect leader in all things. So we should look to his character, his nature, whenever we consider leadership. What is good about God? What is inherent in his very existence that makes him the best leader that there can be? And then we should follow in his footsteps and emulate the things that he has done. In Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True." Why is Jesus called Faithful and True? Because he had an excellent, excellent resume, didn't he, at this point? You think about the things that Jesus accomplished up until that point, which my understanding hasn't happened yet. Jesus truly has become the leader in so many different things. Perfectly, unlike us, he's perfect in his leadership. He's perfect in redemption. He's perfect in being the first in the resurrection. He's perfect in having never sinned. He's perfect in always knowing how to give the glory to the Father and never taking any for himself. He is perfect in all ways. So there he is, the faithful and true leader, and we know he's coming back someday. And when he does, he'll vanquish all the wickedness and evil of the world. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Many crowns meaning many accomplishments, many things that he has done. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. What is the sword of Jesus, by the way? It's his word. His word. His word is powerful. He himself is called the Word of God. Now that name, it has a very deep and wonderful meaning, word. In the Old Testament, the word in Hebrew is davar, and it means idea, concept, or thing that fixes things. In the New Testament, it's logos. And in the understanding of the mindset of the time, it was the bridge between heaven and earth. It was the bridge that would make God close to people because they were reaching for him. He was the word. He was the one idea that would fix all of our problems. And here he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word, manifesting himself in all of his splendor and saying, all wickedness is now coming to an end. Now, when I read those things about Jesus, I understand he has authority. He has great authority. He was given that authority by his Father. And Jesus never took that authority lightly. He always understood that that authority came from his Father. He never got haughty or puffed up or full of himself. He always knew that the Lord, his God, was the one in charge. Even at this moment, when Jesus is coming to take his rightful throne over all creation, even at that time, he knows the Father is the leader of all. What a magnificent pattern for leadership, to always acknowledge there is someone higher than yourself that you must be accountable to. So when we read these words, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword to which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is the ultimate man who is also God, the ultimate leader and pattern for us all. When we read in Philippians chapter 2, we read how Jesus emptied himself of all of his power so that it would be the Father who lifted him up. That's the pattern we have to follow. And we have to be so careful because I know just being a leader in the church, it is a difficult thing sometimes. Because sometimes we feel like we've got everything. We've got to get it done. And we don't spend enough time praying and saying, God, you're the only one who can get it done. So it's a very humiliating, humbling thing at times to follow God's lead. But it's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. Because whenever God is not in the lead, we know how that ends up. None of us like that. None of us enjoy that. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the very reason we have leadership. Now think about all those examples in the Bible of leadership. You might think, why do we need leaders if we've got God, right? We're weak in many ways, and we need leadership. But when we choose leadership, we have to be very careful that these are people aspiring to love God with all their heart, to do what he wants, not what they want, to be humble in nature in the sense that they would want God always to be the leader and never to play God. And it's a very, very delicate thing in the church. Because there are many places in the world where people try to become leaders and cannot. And sometimes those people end up in the church where they're weaker. And they find a niche. And it's good when we serve and we find a place in the church. But it's bad when we just throw people into leadership without prayerfully considering what God wants. It can be a very dangerous thing. And we think about how the Israelites said they wanted a leader so badly. Why was there? What was their meaning? They wanted a leader so they could be like everybody else, all the nations around them, which was very contradictory to the very thing God wanted. He wanted them to stand out, and it offended God when the Israelites said they needed a king because they already had one. But yet God rose, he brought judges up, people who led the people, but never took the mantle of kingship, never took that full authority. They understood that God was leader. And in the church, we need to think that way, that God is leader. No one person or no group of people are leaders alone. God is leader of all. Can I hear an amen? Are you awake this morning? Yeah, you out there? So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Christ is a leader in the resurrection. "Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God. God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is," what, church? "Death." Isn't that awesome? "Death will be defeated. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all." We get into these discussions about God and who he is, and it gets a bit confusing sometimes. Because we say, well, Jesus is God, right? He's the Son of God. And yet, if Jesus is God, then why wouldn't his authority be equal to that of the Father? Well, Jesus, remembered, willfully emptied himself of his power. He became a man. And while still being God, he was also a man. And therefore set the pattern for us as to how we should see God. We follow God because God is our creator. Jesus is not created except in the sense that his body was created. That's it. But Jesus sets the pattern for us. This is why you need leadership, Jesus says, because God is leader of all. He's the only one that can lead us with justice and righteousness and perfect leadership. So Jesus himself understands that he has the authority he has for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring all dominion back to his Father. He was commissioned by the Father to bring all the creation back under God's submission. And we learn the hard lesson through our lives of why that's so important. Because when we make decisions that are ungodly, we reap the benefits of that, death. But when we accept God as leader, and we submit to his leadership, then we reap the benefits of that, life. God is the perfect leader in all things. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a wonderful piece of advice for the church. Verse 21, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we now acknowledge Christ is over us, and therefore we look at one another as co-followers, co-servants in Christ." And wherever we are in the church, whatever it is that we're doing, we never forget this. Christ is leader of all. In 1 Peter 5, speaking of elders, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, Peter talks about how eldership should be following the good shepherd, the true leader. Then he addresses the church and he says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him. In other words, don't rush ahead. Don't try to fix it on your own. Don't try to get the credit. Don't try to get people to glorify you. Instead, cast all of your cares, all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do you believe Jesus cares for this church? Yes, he does. For that reason, he says, don't worry. Don't be troubled. Don't worry about the things that trouble the world. Give it to me and allow me to be God. Be self-controlled and alert. That is so true. Because if we're not constantly alert, the enemy can easily capture our attention. It's not hard for me to get distracted. That's why we need prayer. We need prayer desperately. It is so easy to fall in our weakness under the guise or the trap of the devil. And Peter says it this way, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I think about Satan. He's a being who's been around for millennia. He has studied mankind for millennia. He knows how we work. He knows how we tick. He knows exactly what to do to push our buttons to get us to do the wrong thing. This is where it is so important for us to be totally submissive to Christ and his leadership. And we must resist him, as Peter says, standing firm in the faith. That's where our power lies, is in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan is still alive and well, isn't he? We can see the evidence of that all around. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Is that not true? Or do we feel like evil is so great we cannot overcome it? The only way we overcome evil is acknowledging God is God and allowing him to do it through us. Jesus is the shepherd of shepherds. He is the perfect pattern, if I could say this, for eldership. He is the perfect elder. You say, well, he was never married. Well, we'll get into those discussions. But anyway, 1 Peter 5, verse 1, it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Now we remember with those words, and I'm sure Peter took these words very personally as he wrote them because Peter was one of the 12. Peter goofed many times. I'm glad Peter goofed. Makes me feel better about myself. Peter made a lot of mistakes. Peter spoke first and thought later, right? He was a choleric. He had athlete's mouth, right? But Jesus was very patient with Peter because Peter did turn out to be a great leader. And Peter wrote these words later on in his life saying, let's let Jesus be the leader. Let him be the chief shepherd among us. And as he wrote those words, he truly, I'm sure, was thinking about that time that they were all together for that Passover meal when Jesus said, whoever wants to be greatest has to be least of all. Remember how he took up the towel and the basin and he washed their feet. And he said, you call me teacher, you call you master, and rightly so. But look what I just did for you. Now you know you can't rise above this. You have to be like this. And that's true leadership in God's eyes. Emptying yourself and becoming a servant, not haughty, not wearing a title, a name, a position, but serving the King of Kings, because he's the ultimate leader. And we read what he says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Enough said, right? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate servitude. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the going gets tough, the fake guy runs away, right? But when the true leader sees that the tough time's coming, that person understands this is when God can truly be God. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But he says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Let me say that again. One flock and one shepherd. Amen. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Even death itself, Jesus says, I have power over death. I have power to die, he says. I have power to bring myself back to life because the Father gave me that power. Now, likewise, if we have any power, it's been given to us by God. And it's given to us that we might serve one another with joy, with patience, and with the intent of building each other up to follow God better. That must be the church. So as we consider leadership, as we consider this new year, how we can follow Jesus in faith better, please keep in mind, once again, we are all flawed and imperfect. None of us measures up to any list perfectly. However, Jesus does. And if our intent is to follow Jesus above all things, to follow his leadership, then I look forward to some really wonderful experiences in this church. Because God is the only leader. He is the only one who can be. Would you please stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll be our leader. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to select leadership. And Lord, in our daily lives, every single day when we wake up in the morning, help us to make you leader. Help us all, Lord, to acknowledge the need to put ourselves down and lift you up. Lift up the cross to be crucified with Christ so that your glory might be manifested through us. Help us, Lord, so we don't get full of ourselves, but we get filled with you. We look forward to being filled with the full measure of God, so that the world may see that we are your disciples as we love one another, as we serve, and as we seek new opportunities to bless this community and to bless one another. We thank you, Lord, for your patience with us, and we pray, Lord, that a lost soul will be saved today. We pray, Lord, because we love you, and we too earnestly desire that all might come to repentance. And Lord, if there's anything in our own hearts that is not right, help us to come to repentance. We pray all of this in